live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, there's been a spike in the number of people presenting to Letterkenny University Hospital with flu-like symptoms this week. The grandfather of a man who was attacked in Lifford on Monday night has urged anyone who has evidence linking him to crime to come forward. The Seanad has been told it's vital the government, the central bank and financial institutions agree on the need for a contribution towards a requirement that households affected by mica pay 10% of the costs under the imminent redress scheme. And the Communications Minister says no county will be favoured when it comes to the national broadband plan. Stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, there's been a spike in the number of people presenting to Letterkenny University Hospital with flu-like symptoms this week. It comes as the hospital remains the second most overcrowded in the country for the third consecutive day, with 49 people awaiting inpatient beds there this morning. Catherine Gaffney has more.
A total of 145 people have been waiting for inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital for the past 3 days, according to the Daily Trolley Watch reports from the INMO. In a statement today, management at the hospital has stated that the emergency department is extremely busy this week, with a significant increase in the number of patients presenting with respiratory and flu-like illness. Patients with flu require isolation to prevent the spread of infection, and the hospital says that this is a significant challenge. Actions underway in the hospital to alleviate the waiting times for patients requiring admission include additional reviews and early discharges. The hospital regrets the delays experienced by patients and staff are committed to treating everyone who presents at the ED, but are doing so strictly in order of medical priority, and apologise for the long waiting times.
Meanwhile, one person could die a day due to overcrowding in Irish hospitals, according to patient advocacy groups. 577 people are waiting on trolleys across the country today, according to the INMO. The Emergency Department Task Force is meeting to discuss overcrowding in hospitals. Steve McMahon of the Irish Patients Association says an outbreak of flu or a tough winter would be bad news for patients.
The Emergency Medicine Association have already said that there could be up to a patient dying each day due to overcrowding. And that's nearly as many as, it's more than the die in the roads. And we need the same approach as we do see the Road Safety Authority for when accidents happen on a road, to understand what's happening.
The Seanad has been told it's vital that the government, the central bank and financial institutions agree on the need for a contribution towards the requirement that households affected by mica pay 10% of the costs under the imminent redress scheme. This week, the Mica Action Group said they're making progress in their attempts to have lenders help with the 10% contribution, but stressed approval will be needed from the government and central bank. Senator Padraig McLaughlin raised the issue on the Order of Business earlier today.
There's been some excellent work done by the Mica Action Group. They have engaged with financial institutions, and they have got a fairly positive response to the call for the banks and financial institutions who hold mortgages on thousands of these homes to make a contribution to help with that 10%. What is required from government, leader, is for the Minister for Finance to engage with the central bank to pull together all of the lenders, all of the banks, financial institutions, in a cross-lender approach, that everybody's on the same page, and that the families can be reassured that when the scheme is announced, that they will have the financial supports to make their homes safe again. And of course, this is completely in the interest of the banks and financial institutions, because right now, the value, the real value of those properties is rapidly deteriorating. So you're making homes safe, you're restoring the homes back to full market value. I'm asking that you would refer this matter, leader, to the Minister for Finance today, and ask him to urgently engage with the central bank, with the financial institutions, that we get this resolved, so when the scheme's up and running very soon, those supports are there.
The grandfather of a man who was attacked in Lifford on Monday night has urged anyone who has evidence linking him to crime to come forward. Six masked men entered the home of the man, whose name is Michael, in the Conyborough area of Lifford on Monday night and attacked him using hammers, iron bars and other weapons. His grandfather, also Michael, believes the attack may be linked to his grandson's criminal past and a presumption that he was responsible for a number of break-ins and burglaries in the area in recent weeks. Speaking on the 9 till noon show today, he said his grandson has been plagued by addiction.
It was summer, as broke into in the town, the first person they come up with is my grandson, which people are entitled to come to that conclusion, and I haven't got a problem with that. In the last few weeks, there have been properties broke into in the Lifford area, and there have been threats made against Michael. Cars have pulled up alongside him and along the road, and people pointed fingers out, you know, as if it was a gun and stuff like that there, when him and his girlfriend were walking up the road, and this has been ongoing for a few weeks. On Monday night, it's been a culmination of all this. And I know that's not the proper way to deal with things, but suppose somebody took it upon themselves and they thought this was the right way to deal with things. But as I have always said, if anybody out there in Lifford area or anywhere else that has any information to link my grandson to any houses that was broken in Lifford, either go to the Gardaí, come to me, come to a member of the family, and we will deal with it. Because everybody knows in the town, or people close to Michael, his family members, knows that when Michael does something, he's either fueled with drugs and drink. And I would also like to add that the people that come in on Monday night and beat Michael up with iron bars and whatever, and threaten him with a gun and whatever, Greg, I can tell you, that's not the worst state I've ever seen Michael in. I've seen Michael high in drugs, convulsion with drugs and drink, frothing, eyes turning in his head, everything associated with drug addiction. Michael is also under the mental health. He's been in different institutions. His last trip into St. Connell's, I think, was there in August.
The Communications Minister says no county will be favoured over others when it comes to the National Broadband Plan. Minister Richard Burton was reacting to comments that Donegal, given its location and vast rural population, should be top of the list in terms of rolling out broadband to premises across the county. There's also concern locally surrounding the length of time the project will take to complete, but speaking on today's 9 till noon show, the Minister said that the project is a major undertaking for all involved. He also says that the plan is to cater to future generations, therefore everything must be done right.
Well, obviously the rollout, it's across 110 different zones is the way it's being done. So there will be zones started in every county. So we're not seeking to favour counties over others. We're trying to roll this out in a way that is equitable and still efficient. But, you know, this really is a transformative opportunity. I mean, it opens up remote working. I think it opens up, you know, a county like Donegal, who, although, you know, you have had great success with IDA investment in the Letterkenny area, to see, you know, regionally dispersed investment. We do need to have, you know, staff fully connected, and companies need to have that confidence. I suppose what we're doing here is rolling out 146,000 kilometres of fibre, and that's been done on largely existing poles and ducts owned by either AIR or AIRCOM. So there is work in preparing those poles. There is work in rolling that out. So this is a big logistical exercise. It's not being done wirelessly. This is actually giving you future-proofed fibre to the home. So we have deliberately chosen a technology that will be robust for the needs not just of today, but of 10 years' time, 20 years' time, and so on.
Gardaí and Donegal are warning motorists once again to adhere to speed limits and never ever drive under the influence of drugs or alcohol. It's after the Buncrana Road Policing Unit detected two drivers driving in excess of the speed limit in Burnfoot and St Johnston when a driver tested positive for cocaine after being stopped in the Ardraven area of Buncrana. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The Buncrana Road Policing Unit detected a driver exceeding the 60 km/h limit in Tubin Burnfoot at school time yesterday. The motorist was doing 98 km/h. A fixed charge penalty notice is to be issued. A motorist was later detected speeding in the vicinity of St Johnson, in an area which Gardaí say local people have expressed concerns over speeding. The driver was travelling at 127 km/h in an 80 km/h zone. A fixed charge penalty notice is also due to be issued. Last evening, at Ardraven in Buncrana, a driver was arrested by the road policing unit after failing the roadside oral fluid test for drugs. The driver tested positive for cocaine.
The Minister for Finance says he does not share the views of Verona Murphy, but she is still a possible general election contender. The Fine Gael by-election candidate for Wexford apologised after making controversial comments about asylum seekers. Pascal Donoghue, who is also the party's director of elections, says her apology and her past work means she might still be an election candidate next year.
I believe she will be a general election candidate for Fine Gael, and the reason why I'm saying this is it's not about rhetoric, it's about the action and the engagement. And what she said afterwards, I have accepted, but I'd also accept that in the context of Verona, having an extraordinary life experience, having built up much and having achieved much, that does give her the potential to be a very formidable TD in the future.
Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle's motion on rights to personal assistance services passed unanimously in the Dáil last night. The motion, if implemented by government, would end costs to disability supports and properly fund a personal assistance service in Ireland. It would also ensure that funding for the service is properly ring-fenced and separated from the different home help service. Deputy Pringle says now that the motion has received support, the government must take the appropriate action. He says the current format is costing the state more.
Currently only 5% of the HSE's disability budget has gone on personal assistance and home support services. Meanwhile, 85% of the budget is spent on residential day services. This needs to be flipped on its head. It's costing the state more to keep a woman in an institution as opposed to providing a personal assistance service so disabled people can work and engage in our society.
Four men have been arrested as part of investigations into attacks on sex workers. Seven assaults have taken place nationwide on sex workers since the middle of October. Josh Crosby reports.
These arrests took place in West Dublin yesterday after three properties were searched as part of Operation Quest. Four men aged between 18 and 37 years of age are currently being held for questioning in relation to robberies and assaults on sex workers. A fifth man was arrested on foot of a bench warrant and is appearing before the District Court today. The operation was carried out by officers from the Garda National Protective Services Bureau along with units from Dublin Metropolitan South Central, Western and Northern Divisions and Longford Roscommon Divisions. It comes as seven attacks have taken place nationwide on sex workers since the middle of October. On each occasion, an online appointment is made, but when the client arrives, the sex worker is assaulted and robbed by a number of men. Gardaí are appealing for people with information on these targeted attacks to contact them.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal Nevis GAA range. Shop in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. Kieran Thompson has been named the Donegal Senior Championship Player of the Year. The new Connell man will be honoured with a Gradman Seamus McGeady for 2019. After a fantastic campaign which seen him help his side lift the Dr. Maguire Cup for the first time in 4 years. Thompson was a key player in their county success and of course we'll be hoping his team can also lift the Ulster title on Sunday week against Kilcoo in Omagh. He will be presented with his award at the county banquet which takes place in the Abbey Hotel this coming Saturday night. Well, the draws for the Ulster Under 20 and minor championships were made on Tuesday evening by the Ulster CCC. The Under 20 Championship holders, Tyrone, will make the trip to the athletic grounds to play Armagh, while last year's beaten finalist Derry will have home advantage against Fermanagh. New Donegal manager Sean Paul Barrett will see his side also have home advantage against Monaghan. That competition is an earlier start. It will get up and running with a preliminary round on the first weekend of February. The minor championship will throw in with the preliminary round of Derry and Cavan in the middle of April. That's Saturday the 18th with the winners to play Tyrone. Holders Monaghan set out for a 3-in-a-row bid against Armagh, and Luke Barrett's Donegal side will host Down in the quarterfinals in Ballybuffet at the end of April. Owen Ballingallagher is hoping he can return to action with Donegal during next season's National League. The Killybegs man suffered a serious ankle injury ahead of Donegal's Supria clash with Kerry, which ruled him out for the rest of the year, including the club championship with the Fishermen. He hopes to return at some stage in their Division 1 league campaign. Gallagher feels the younger players in the squad will have a bigger role to play in the coming season.
I think it's up to every single young player to step up. You know, a lot of us have been up there now. I'm going into my sixth year, I think. It's time for a lot of us to step up and take on probably a bigger leadership role. We've kind of left it a wee bit to Michael and Neil and Frank and Paddy McGrath and Ryan, Huey, Paddy McBurdy to kind of carry the load in terms of leadership, whereas you see with Dublin, every single player in their squad's a leader, and we have to push towards that there, and every young player is a huge part of the setup, so we need everybody to push on and be a leader.
And ladies football, Mick Bohan is staying on as the Dublin football manager for 2020. The 3-in-a-row winning All-Ireland boss has confirmed that he and his backroom team will remain in place for the coming season. In soccer, Derry City have signed English striker Walter Figueroa. The former Chelsea youth player makes the move to the Brandywell after impressing with Waterford in the second half of last season. The 24-year-old says he's excited about the next chapter in his career.
I'm very, very delighted. Very happy to be here. You know, conversations I had with Declan and Paddy was superb. You know, I like the vision that they have, and it's very mutual. And I'm really excited to crack on with Derry City.
Figueroa scored 5 goals in a spell at the RSC, and Derry boss Declan Devine says they have secured a quality player. Cross channel, Jose Mourinho is taking training with Tottenham ahead of their Premier League clash with West Ham this weekend. The former Manchester United and Chelsea boss has signed a 3.5-year contract with Spurs after they sacked Mauricio Pochettino last night. Ex-Tottenham striker Edgar Gudjonsson played under Mourinho during his time at Chelsea.
Jose is a fantastic manager. Great experience with him. I loved playing under him, loved playing for him. Not too sure what Chelsea fans will make of him becoming the Tottenham manager. Great respect for the man. Learned so much from him as a player.
Celtic goalkeeper Fraser Forster says he'd be staying with the Hoops for the rest of the season. Reports had suggested that Southampton were considering using a recall clause in his loan deal in January. He says he'd like to move to the Scottish Champions on a permanent transfer, but admits the decision is out of his hands. UEFA have confirmed that they will hold a draw to determine which teams will play at home in the playoff finals for Euro 2020. Republic of Ireland will travel to Slovakia for a one-leg semi-final next month, with the winners facing either Northern Ireland or Bosnia for a place in the finals. The draw will take place on Friday morning. 2 Donegal projects are to benefit under the Regional Sports Capital Grants announced today. The Royal and Prior School received just over €112,000 for the resurfacing of its pitch, while Letterkenny Institute of Technology receives €98,000 for sports equipment. Education Minister Joe McHugh says they're important projects.
2 projects coming to Donegal, just shy of €250,000 to be shared between LYT Letterkenny for sports equipment and also for the upgrading of the hockey pitch at Rafoe Royal and Priors. And this is a commitment, obviously, to the diverse range of sports that we have in this country, but also it's great to see an endorsement for LYT that are producing so many sports courses, and it's a centre of excellence for sport at the moment.
To mixed martial arts, Ireland's James Gallagher will headline the Belters event next year in Dublin. That's Bellator, excuse me. The bantamweight will face Cal Pacino Eleanor in the main event at the 3 Arena on February 22nd. Strabane man Gallagher, who holds a 10-1 record, is confident ahead of his next outing.
He has a very good fighter, so he does have a tough contest coming up against me, and I'm going to be ready for it. Do you know what I mean? I know what it is he's going to bring to the table, and he's an excellent fighter. Don't underestimate him at all. And I just have to put in the work and show up at my best. And I feel that there's no one in the world can beat me when I do that. So that's just my mindset that I have, and that's the mindset that I'm going in there with. And I'm going in there to take him out.
In motorsport, Donegal Town's David Kelly has been selected under the top 3 young Irish rally drivers, securing a minimum of €15,000 support towards his rallying in 2020. Following this week's interview process, Kelly has been shortlisted for the Billy Coleman Award, with the winner being announced in early December. Kelly's standout achievements during this year included winning the junior category in the Fastnet Rally and victories in Cavan and the Midland Stages. The other 2 in the shortlist from Clonus and County Monaghan is Derek Markle and Josh McAuley from Kilray and County Derry, also made the final 3. Finally, tonight on the GAA programme, we'll be hearing from Donegal manager Declan Bonner on his plans for the new season ahead. He's been speaking to Tom at this week's new Donegal retro-style jersey launch. Plus, a media launch will take place at Hayley Park in Omagh this evening, and that's ahead of Sunday week's Ulster final between Niamh Connell and Kilcoo. Tom Comack will be there tonight at Hayley Park, and he'd be speaking to a few people at the launch. That's the GAA programme tonight, and it throws in at the usual time of 7:25. Our next bulletin's tomorrow after the 8 news.
Thanks, Oisin. And finally in news, Donegal County Council is being urged to include the new walking track in Churchill in its lighting plan. In its response, a local authority says such routes are not funded as part of the local walks budget or the general public lighting programme, but will explore all funding avenues further. Local Councillor Michael McBride says it's a fantastic amenity to the rural area, but believes the dark evenings are acting as a deterrent. He says providing lighting would only encourage people to use it further and hopes the council will take the appropriate action.
I thought it would be very fitting that we would put lights on that so that people at this time of year, you know, when we've got long nights, if they wanted to go out for a walk, that they could go out and walk around there and even use the outdoor gym. So that's why I brought it in to the council here today. I do realise at the moment that there's no funding available for that, but I just wanted to have it on the agenda that if any funding did come available for it, that we would be in a position maybe to look to draw it down or to apply for it.
So obviously, as you mentioned, this time of year, the dark evenings somewhat prohibits people from using the facilities, which are great for the local community, but they simply probably can't use them because it's so dark.
That's absolutely correct. Sometimes when we go home in the evening, you go in and maybe get a cup of tea or a bit of dinner, and it's easy to get lazy and lie down, you know, but somewhere in Churchill, you know, you have the car park there at the playground. So it's a place that people can go and meet. I think it's a lot easier to do these things if you're meeting somebody else to keep you driven. And when you have the walkway beside it, I think the only element that's missing now is the lighting for it. And I think it'd be fantastic if we could ever source any funding.
Weather now, cloudy this evening with outbreaks of rain. Further outbreaks of rain overnight, some heavy showers, staying windy and moderate to fresh, mainly southeast winds, with lowest temperatures of 4 to 7 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, there's been a spike in the number of people presenting to Letterkenny University Hospital with flu-like symptoms this week. It comes as the hospital remains the second most overcrowded in the country for the third consecutive day, with 49 people awaiting inpatient beds there this morning. The Shannon has been told it's vital that the government, the central bank and financial institutions agree on the need for a contribution towards the requirement that households affected by MICA pay 10% of the costs under the imminent redress scheme. This week, the MICA Action Group said they are making progress in their attempts to have lenders help with the 10% contribution, but stress approval will be needed from the government and central bank. The grandfather of a man who was attacked in Lifford on Monday night has urged anyone who has evidence linking him to crime to come forward. Six masked men entered the home of the man, whose name is Michael, in the Conyborough area of Lifford on Monday night and attacked him using hammers, iron bars and other weapons. And the communications minister says no county will be favoured over others when it comes to the national broadband plan. Minister Richard Bruton was reacting to comments that Donegal, given its location and vast rural population, should be top of the list in terms of rolling out broadband to premises across the country. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 20th of November. The death has taken place of Mary McLaughlin, née Duffy, formerly of St Mary's Drive, Strabane. Her remains will repose at her daughter Karen Crumpton's home at 2 Hazel Gardens, Sion Mills, from 12 noon tomorrow. Funeral from her daughter's home on Saturday morning at 20 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. The death has occurred of Margaret Martha McFadden, Calhame, Annagree. Her remains will repose at her home from 6 o'clock this evening. Rosary nightly at 9pm. Funeral Mass on Friday at 12 noon in Star of the Sea Church, Annagree, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Oris Guidor and Dunlow Community Hospital, care of any family member, or Sean Medlin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Isabel Hunter, née McGillian, 65 Springhill Park, Strabane. Her remains will repose at her home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 20 past 9 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. The death has occurred of James Barney Rogers, Mulladurg Bank, Kincashla. His remains are reposing at Bedlin's funeral home with rosary at 9 o'clock tonight. Viewing tomorrow afternoon from 3 o'clock, with removal at 6:30 to St Mary's Church, Kincashla, for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral mass on Friday morning at 11 with interment afterwards in Belcrich Cemetery. The death has taken place of Maurice Doyle, Carn Mallon, Mallon Head. His remains are reposing at Carndonna Community Hospital with viewing this evening until 7 o'clock. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:15, going to St Mary's Church, Lag Mallon, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, with interment afterwards in Lag Cemetery, Mallon. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Nazareth House Residents Comfort Fund. And the death has taken place of Mary Harley, née Crossan, Curralese, Letterkenny. Mary's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15 to St. Enan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for 11 o'clock funeral mass, with interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the National Council for the Blind, care of any family member.